Welcome, all you sinners and sodomites, to episode 15 of Bible Stories for Atheists. I am Josh.
I'm Linz.
And we are your guides to the witlessly witnessed stories. Oh, I fucked it up for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
Let's try this again. We are your guides to the witlessly witnessed stories, literally littering the Bible. There we go.
That
first try. All right. Yeah. So in this episode, we go through some more healings because that's kind of just the phase we're in, I think, of the Gospels is where Jesus is, you know, proving who he is through healing people, telling everybody not to fucking talk about it.
You shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Break your fucking legs. Yeah. And then I'll heal them again.
And then I'll break them again.
Yeah.
You don't shut your fucking mouth.
Right.
I mean, the healings are the most impressive. Like, I feel like Jesus is telling people in like a don't tell anyone. Yeah.
Don't tell.
But really, he's just trying. I mean, he's like viral marketing himself, basically, right?
Yeah.
And it is the most impressive way to do it. I mean, like, you know, yeah, he can make fucking wine and like divide bread into more bread or whatever it is.
Or
whatever the fuck he does. But like really healing somebody of a disease is kind of a big deal.
Right.
I mean, doctors do it all the time, but like, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus also.
Yeah. But you know, Jesus also. We get one really weird rant from Jesus that is kind of starts off being the basis of how you do missionary work and turns into
why you hate your family.
Why you should hate your family. Yep. Yeah. So that was weird. But
none of the rest of the Bible is weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just that one part.
So yeah, strap in and strap on for episode 15, Fight Club Jesus. In the last episode, we kind of dug into a bunch of different healings that Jesus was doing. Yes. We got a little bit of
two healings.
Yeah. Well, unless you count the John version of that one as a completely separate story.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. It's hard to count when none of the stories match up.
Yeah.
But
That's right. Because we talked about two separate healings, but really they were different versions of the same story.
There was that one. And then like, so there's the paralyzed man. And then there was also the leper.
Just randoms. He couldn't get away from the hordes.
Couldn't get away from
the hordes of the sick and dying.
All of his fans.
What is going on in this part of the world then? Like there's a lot of...
There's a lot of people who are like paralyzed and
I mean,
lepers.
I say that now in a time where like we got a rocking pandemic going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure in the history books, people are going to look back at this time in the world and be like, what the hell was going on in the world back then?
I mean, a lot of people will if there are anybody. Yeah, if we survive the next 50 years.
That's fair. Somebody write this shit down.
Oh, we might.
We might all die.
We might end the world. We might be the last generation.
Somebody save this to a disc and send it into space.
Yeah. Do we get Voyager 2 going? as if we would make it on
there. Get these two idiots from Michigan on here. I think they're smarter than everyone else. Fucking idiots.
Yes, they're going to be the representative to the alien species that come after us.
The one growls the whole time and the bitch won't stop laughing.
Those NASA scientists are real assholes. So critical of our podcast. Let's see them start up a podcast.
Everyone has a podcast. I think you get one assigned to you at birth now.
that's true.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's what happened on the last episode. This is the two blind men healed. This is coming from only Matthew 9:27-31. And the story goes like this. Jesus is walking along and two blind men are following him, yelling.
How?
That's a good question. It's a very good question. Two blind men are following along, yelling, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Because they've obviously read the genealogies.
Right, yeah.
Of Jesus.
That's what made him go blind.
Yeah. And technically he's like only the stepson of Jesus, of David.
They both read one of the separate genealogies and they got in a fight and stabbed each other's eyes off.
No, this is the real one. No, that's Mary's genealogy. I just love the visual of this, of Jesus walking along, two blind men following behind him, yelling,
right?
You know, please heal us.
He's just walking and trying to ignore them.
Yeah. Well, and then it says he goes inside somewhere.
This
and,
will lose
and
them.
They follow him in again. How?
Yeah.
So he asks, "Do you think I can do this?" And I guess they said yes, because he touches their eyes and you might be surprised to find out they can see again. But Jesus warns them sternly, that no one knows about this. But they went out and spread the news all over the region.
You would think that he would either A, just stop healing people, or B, stop telling people not to tell people.
What he should have done is cured their blindness, but then made them mute.
Yes. It's a real genie in the lamp sort of scenario.
You got to pick one. I mean, I think I would go with mute over blind. Oh,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then while they're leaving, a demon-possessed guy just shows up, speaking of mutes, who couldn't talk. Okay. So he's demon possessed, and the demon just made it so he couldn't talk.
Oh, that's how we know that he's possessed by the demon.
I guess.
He's mute. I feel like in most circumstances, demons are real mouthy.
Yeah, right. So he's brought up to Jesus. He casts out the demon, and suddenly the guy can talk.
Demon's got your tongue.
Yeah. And then Jesus said, "Demon's got your tongue." It says the crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has been seen in Israel." I really hope the two blind guys said that.
He told the blind guys not to say anything about it, but then a whole crowd is there when he does the demon guy.
I guess.
It's
not clear what's exactly going on here.
He needs like a PR guy at this point. Like, he's doing a real bad job, like, keeping things on the DL.
Right, yeah. And then it says, but the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons."
Oh, so they think, Satan.
They think he's possessed by Satan, and that's how he drives out demons.
Because it's like Satan's like, "Hey,
demon,
go home."
Yeah. Personally, I think this story, the story of the two blind people and then this one demon-possessed guy, sounds an awful lot like a faith healer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got these two blind people somehow following him.
Right.
You know.
Yelling. Yeah. Loud so everyone can hear them.
Yeah. I'm blind. Jesus, save me. Right. And then he does.
Open your eyes.
And all of a sudden they can see.
Oh, my eyes are open.
Yeah. And then there's this guy that comes up and he can't talk.
Right.
And suddenly he can. And it's
and
a
it
demon.
Was a demon.
Yeah.
Fucking demon.
Like, really, what is the point of this demon?
Right.
What is the purpose of this demon? I just don't get it.
That's a fair question, because like I said, I feel like in most circumstances that you hear about demon possession, like, they're real mouthy. They're not like, "Don't tell anyone I'm here."
Right.
Like, is he in like a demon relocation sort of thing? Like, he's trying to get out of hell, so he takes up...
Yeah, he just wants to hang out up here. He doesn't want to call attention to himself.
Right, he just wants to, he's on vacation.
Yeah, it's like, fucking dude, all I did was say, make it so you didn't talk.
Right.
I could have spun your head around.
Yeah.
Could have made you puke up on yourself.
Sure.
You know?
Just
let me chill.
There's lots of things I could have made you do.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Yeah.
I just wanted a break from like shoving things up people's assholes.
Right.
All day and all night.
It's hot down there.
Do you know what, hot asshole smells like? It's not great.
It's not great, no.
I just wanted a break.
So yeah, that's the two blind men healed.
Those are less impressive healings than, I mean, because you can kind of talk through that story and find ways in which maybe they were faking. Whereas like the guy who had leprosy and the guy who couldn't walk, like those are way more impressive.
Yeah. You can stories. Tell that somebody has leprosy.
Yeah. Like you literally would need someone in the story to be like, oh yes, these blind men who I've known my whole life and have been blind their whole lives are now healed and can see.
Yeah.
You need that guy in the story to add some legitimacy to it.
Right. I guess everybody just took that at his word.
That's cool.
Then the next story is about plucking grain on the Sabbath. Really riveting stuff. So this is Luke 6, 1 through 5, Mark 2, 23 through 28, and Matthew 12, 1 through 8. Mark's version goes like this, quote, one Sabbath, unquote, Jesus is walking along with his disciples and the guys start picking the heads of grain.
Okay.
Pharisees see it and are like, what the hell? It's the Sabbath. You know, they're breaking the law.
They're laboring.
Yeah. It's illegal to harvest anything on the Sabbath. Jesus answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.
I can do what I want because I'm Jesus.
I can do what I want because I'm Jesus, but also like kind of giving Christians a pass on the Sabbath. At least that's how it's interpreted.
Like if you're starving and like the one day you get food is on the Sabbath, eat the fucking food.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Matthew's version is similar, but there's an extra bit at the end. It says, or haven't you read the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? So they're working on the Sabbath. Right. So therefore, but they're innocent.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
This book sets up unions.
How so?
Because they give them a day where they can't work.
Oh.
Like it's illegal to work on that day. You need a break.
Yeah.
Like people shouldn't be forced to work.
Right.
Basically every single day of the week.
That's what the Sabbath is supposed to be.
Yeah. So you take break and you have to by law.
Right.
And that's kind of, I mean.
It's kind of what unions
are based on.
Doing. Yeah. Kind of.
It's like a religious union.
Kind of. Yeah. In a way. Yeah. It's meant to make sure people aren't burning out, I guess.
Right.
You know, is the idea. But then you get all the dogmatic aspects of it built into it. Yeah. And then it ends up being more detrimental than
helpful. There's some bullshit that comes with unions too.
Yeah. So anyway, he says, priests work on the Sabbath and yet they're innocent. Mm. I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, quote, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, unquote, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. So that's only in Matthew's version right at the end. Luke's version, similar to Mark's, but neither Luke nor Matthew mentioned this priest, Abiathar. That's because the story that Jesus is talking about there, where David comes to this priest, Abiathar, mm-hmm. and takes this consecrated bread for him and his troops, that story comes from 1 Samuel chapter 21, and the priest is named Ahimelech.
Yeah. And Abiathar?
Yeah.
You know what you get when you combine those two names? You get Abimelech.
That's true. That's true. But not relevant.
Okay.
If you listen to early episodes, we talked about somebody named Abimelech quite a bit.
The king.
Yeah. But Abiathar was actually Ahimelech's son.
Okay.
And he doesn't show up until the next chapter in the story. So it's likely that when Luke and Matthew were writing their gospels, which theirs were based on Mark's, like even if you're a Christian biblical scholar, most of them admit that Matthew and Luke based their gospels on Mark's.
Like a response.
Kind of.
Like but when you're in a rap battle and...
Yeah. So they had Mark's and they used that as kind of a basis for their gospels. When the writers of Luke and Matthew were writing their gospels based on Mark's, they recognized that Mark had made this error and they just left out the name.
Oh, okay.
Of the priest entirely. So...
Yeah.
Now,
smart move.
Yeah. So now we have a choice to make here.
Oh, choose your own adventure.
Yeah. Is the Bible perfect or is Jesus perfect?
Oh.
You know, did 1 Samuel actually accurately record the history of this event and Mark accurately record what Jesus said, but Jesus's knowledge was flawed? Or was Jesus's knowledge perfect and the Bible's recordings in either 1 Samuel or Mark's account, wrong.
Or
a
popular third option.
We're neither right.
Neither were right.
Yeah.
Or like, again, I would go back to mentioning that the idea that the Bible being perfect is ridiculous, even if you are hyper-religious and believe in the Bible, because it, again, was written by man and it's been said men are...
Fallible. Two instances we found so far, like I think in the last episode... I think it was in the last episode.
With Moses?
Where he talks about
Moses writing the Torah. Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely not recording these on the same day. the last episode, we talked about Moses. We hit that verse where he talked about Moses being the one who wrote the Torah. And that's obviously not true according to everything that we covered in episode 10.
Yep.
And then in this one, he's talking about this. And this is obviously an inaccurate thing that he would have said as well. Sure. So it's important to point this out, I think, that there are inaccuracies in the Bible.
I think that this is, that's kind of the whole point of this podcast, is not to take down Christianity.
Yeah.
It's to point out, like, stop saying that this book is perfect. Like, if you want to use it as a
weapon
basis for your religion, fine.
Right, yes.
Like, people use sci-fi novels to fucking base their religion on at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, but also just stop saying that, like, because it's in the Bible, it's true.
Right.
Like, admit that it is a guidebook and not just an absolute fucking perfect piece of writing. Most people aren't going to read through the Bible and be like, well, here's where it's fucked up.
Yeah. But
there are people who will.
Yeah.
And then tell other people about it.
Right.
Yeah. On their podcast.
Yep.
They're very popular podcasts.
Right.
Millions of listeners.
Now we're going to jump to a wholly different topic. Healing another man with, this time with a withered hand.
Oh,
yeah.
A withered hand? A
withered hand. Luke 6, verses 16 through 11, Mark 3, 1 through 6, and Matthew 12, 9 through 14. So the story goes like this. Mark and Luke specifically say that this happens on another Sabbath, but Matthew specifically says that this was right after the plucking grain story.
Okay.
So literally this happened right after. Only one of those could be right. So Jesus goes to a synagogue and there's a guy there with a withered hand. Mark says that the Pharisees are watching to see if he heals this guy on the Sabbath again.
Ugh.
They're all hung up on,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, there's a whole thing against the Pharisees. Like, I've heard slanderous things about the Pharisees.
Yeah.
From people talking about the Bible. And I'm like, that's so stupid. The whole Bible's ridiculous. But the way they paint the Pharisees in the Bible, like, they're kind of shitty.
Yeah. I mean, purpose. But again, you have to recognize that this is with a purpose.
Yes.
It's with an ideological purpose of deflating Pharisees.
Right.
You know, that's the thing that bugs me about this is, like, this is a nonsensical reaction.
Right.
To somebody healing somebody. Yeah.
Instead, like, of just fucking amazement about what just happened.
Yeah.
Instead, you're all like, well.
But it's on a Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, you know, my God. How dare you?
I don't think even the most devout Pharisee would actually have a problem with that if that's what they were seeing. And there might even be racism behind it. I don't know. But, you know.
Psalms are high.
Because with you know, a lot of the Gospels were likely not written by Jewish people. So Jesus goes to the synagogue and there's this guy with a withered hand. Mark says that the Pharisees are watching. I already said all this. Mark and Luke have Jesus tell the guy to stand up in front of everyone. And he asks the Pharisees, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? This is kind of like what we were talking about earlier. In Matthew, the Pharisees ask Jesus if it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath. And he says, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. In all three versions, he has the guy stretch out his hand and it's healed. Then the Pharisees, quote, start, unquote, plotting to kill Jesus.
Wow.
Even though we had that other story where
they were plotting.
They started to plot.
They literally, everyone witnesses the unwithering.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a great horror movie title.
The unwithering.
The unwithering. How does one come to have a withered hand? Do you think it was like
God?
But what is a withered hand?
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine it's a deformity, you know, or poor, like bad circulation. Like maybe there was some sort of circulatory issue in his
arm. Did they touch the goblet from Indiana Jones?
the Holy Grail?
The Holy Grail. I don't know. I couldn't remember that.
Yeah.
And you know, they when they touch the wrong ones, they get all old. Yeah. And they're like,
the Holy Grail doesn't exist yet.
Start to wither.
So that the Holy Grail becomes the Holy Grail. Basing this all
it's from
off
the of, from the dinner, right? Isn't that the
cup
they drink?
The Last Supper.
Yeah.
It was his cup at the Last Supper. And then when they took the Spear of Destiny.
Yeah.
And pierced everything is a fucking relic in this. It's so insane. They take the Spear of Destiny, stab Jesus into the fucking side, and the immortal Roman soldier does. Right. And then the blood gushes out and gets caught by, I think, Mary Magdalene holding the cup that he used to drink.
She has it.
From the Last Supper.
And then she drinks
for some reason,
and it's wine?
For some reason, she thought, he's going to want his cup.
I mean, that does sound like a very womanly thing to do.
As he's crucified. No way to get the cup to him.
But if he has to pee.
So he starts bleeding and she's like, I got it. She's catching the blood and therefore we get the Holy Grail.
Ah, okay.
Which is now able to heal all wounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it's able to,
that was when they were touching the wrong one.
That was the wrong one. So that doesn't even have anything to do with the Holy Grail.
I was going to say he grabbed the wrong one.
They just cursed all the wrong. They must have just cursed the other ones. Yeah.
From that Arthurian knight that was
coming. Yeah. it's so crazy the stuff that people have built on top of these stories.
It is.
But
it is. And I relate it all back to like the actual story. It's not. Yeah. They're all movies again.
Right.
Movies.
Was he actually like an Arthurian knight? Was he from King Arthur's court? King Arthur who never existed?
Well, it would have been King Richard, right? Because I think King Richard's the one who searched Holy Grail.
Okay.
Sent the knights out to search for the Holy Grail.
I thought King Arthur did that, but I never got into medieval mythology and stuff like that. So
I think it was King Richard's, but it was still around the same time.
Right.
So I just refer to it all as Arthurian.
Okay.
So he healed the withered hand.
Yes.
Which I assume is like, what's his name's baby hand from Scary Movie.
Right, yes.
Yes, okay. Scary Movie 2.
It's my strong hand.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So.
And then they plot to kill him yet again.
Yeah, because
Multiple
he healed on the Sabbath.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I assume these are different groups of Pharisees who are all collectively plotting against Jesus at the same time without knowing that they're all doing it.
Right, I guess.
Yeah. Because
they never name any of these Pharisees or anything. Like, you don't get any specifics about who these people are.
Yeah.
So you can't track any of that stuff.
Right.
So, yeah.
You can't figure out what apartment in Queens they were plotting against
Jesus
in.
I'm sure they're a real knitting circle. You know, they all talk.
Right, right. You know? Yeah.
They're all like down at the beauty salon and the hair dryers being like, you know what Jesus did the other day?
He held a man on the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath?
On the Sabbath.
My God.
Ugh. Jesus.
Should kill him. Right. We should kill him.
I mean, that would only be what he wants, I think. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he said that.
He alluded to it. The whole thing about the temple, I think he was talking about destroying his body.
Yeah, he did point down when he said it. Did nobody else catch on to that?
Well, I wasn't there for that. Martha was. Martha was there. I don't know. Can't find a job? Living off the hard work of everyone who can provide for their family? That's a demon. You need to call Saul's Exorcism and Demon Control, located on the corner of 6th Avenue and 66th Street in whatever town you're in. They'll come down and cast out that demon of unemployment.
Will they give you a job?
No, but now that demon won't be stopping you from finding one.
Are you still single? Seriously, after all these years? That's a demon. Saul's team will swipe left on Satan and swipe right on finally giving your mother grandchildren before she chokes to death on fried chicken alone in her first floor apartment.
Car broken down with a bad carburetor?
Is Barb in accounting smelling up the office with microwaved fish?
Are those kids lighting bags of shit on your front porch again?
That's a demon!
Stop having bananas go bad 3 days after buying them.
Don't get stuck at all those red lights.
What about getting rejected by women because of your looks or personality?
That's a demon! Use promo code BSFA at checkout to keep the demon exercised 10% longer.
Saul's Exorcism and Demon Control is only licensed in the continental United States, the only country where more people believe in demons than evolution. Call of the 12. So this is the next story. This is Luke 6, 12 through 16, Mark 3, 13 through 19, and Matthew 10, 1 through 4. Mark's version of this story goes like this. Well, I'm just going to read it. Jesus went up to the mountainside. Not the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay.
But he's going up on the mountainside, and he called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they
His
might...
apostles, yeah?
Yeah. He called the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons.
Ah.
These are the 12 he appointed. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, his brother John, to them he gave the name Boanerges. I've never heard this come up ever again.
Yeah.
So I don't give a shit how you pronounce it.
You said to them he gave.
Yeah. I don't know if this is like now you have this last name or what, but which means sons of thunder.
Oh, like Thor.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. I just picture this being a movie and he's handing out like gang jackets. No.
Oh.
like the what do they call those? The members only jackets.
Oh yeah.
That are like the satiny kind. And on the back of theirs it says Sons of Thunder.
Yeah.
It's just got two fists hitting each other and like thunder claps coming off of it.
Everybody else just gets their name.
Yeah. They had to have been the muscle.
He fucked up and wrote Peter on one of them. Right.
So, that's your name now.
Sorry, Simon.
Simon sucks.
Yeah.
It's a chipmunk's name. Do you think that they must have been the muscle though, right? Like we don't give people Sons of Thunder without expecting them to kick some ass.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they were fishermen, so I imagine they were probably pretty strong.
Upper body strength. Yeah. Yeah, they were the enforcers.
Yeah. Also Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew. Not Levi.
Matthew.
In any of the versions. It's not Levi in any of the versions, but it's Matthew. Thomas. James, son of Alphaeus.
So two James. Oh, Alphaeus.
Two James, but also, yeah, son of Alphaeus. Now, if you recall in the last episode, we talked about when Levi, quote unquote, got the call from Jesus. In Mark's version, it specifically said he was son of Alphaeus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is Levi James?
We don't know. We have no idea. Hmm. Like, were they brothers?
Right.
Yeah. But they go out of their way to say James was
the son of Alphaeus. Well, that's because there's another James, right?
Yeah. Thaddeus.
Oh.
And then Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him.
Yes. Do they say that? Who betrayed him? Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I know.
When I was little, I learned a song and it helped me remember the name of the reindeer, Santa's reindeer.
Oh, okay.
Did you learn songs like that when you were little to help you remember the names of all these people?
I wouldn't be surprised if they had them, but the list isn't the same in all the versions. So that throws a little bit of a wrench in things.
It does.
So in Luke's version, Jesus goes out to the mountainside to pray and spends the night praying to God. Then he chooses 12 of his disciples to become apostles. Instead of Thaddeus, we get another Judas. Judas, son of James.
Two Judases.
Two Judai.
Judai.
Yeah. The footnote says that it's another name for Thaddeus, and it just uses the other verses like from the other gospels to back that up.
Mm.
No actual reason to say that this was not just a fuck up on somebody's part, you know?
I'm sure Judas Priest also called themselves Thaddeus Priest.
Right. Yeah. The answer to both. Matthew's version, quote, Jesus called his 12 disciples. So in that version, he only has 12. In the other versions, he has a bunch of disciples. And from those, he chooses 12.
The 12. Okay.
Right.
But in this version,
it was only 12 disciples. And he was like, well, I guess these are the ones that I've got.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Besides that, it's mostly the same as Mark. Specifically, Matthew was the tax collector. So it says in this version, Matthew was the tax collector. Yep. And then he goes off in Matthew's version. He goes off on this whole rant, which I'm about to go into.
Oh, Jesus rant.
Yep. And then there's John's version, which is really interesting because there isn't one.
Oh, he doesn't list the
disciples. Never has this. Yeah.
Hmm.
So this is the continuation of the call of the 12, according to Matthew.
Okay.
And I'm going to sum up some of this, but then some of it I'm going to actually read out because I think it's worth reading out. I should also point out this. This is probably one of the biggest verses for missionaries because it kind of lays out the ground rules for missionaries.
Okay, great.
For missionary work, yeah. It says, don't go out among the Gentiles or Samaritans. Go to towns in Israel.
Okay.
Specifically to the, I don't think that's how missionaries take it these days, but specifically to these guys. Proclaim the message that the kingdom of heaven has come near. The end is nigh.
Here adjacent. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Heal the sick and drive out demons freely. Quote, do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No beg for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave.
Mm.
It also says, I am sending you out like a sheep among wolves, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves.
Okay.
Yeah. But I always thought this was an interesting thing when it comes to missionary work. Like, this is the idea of what it's supposed to be, according to Jesus, where you literally don't go out, you don't bring anything with you.
Yeah.
You know, you have to rely on faith that God will provide.
Yeah.
You know,
except everyone that I know who's done missionary work,
they all bring stuff.
They all bring stuff with them. And
it's just not it's not something that you can actually pull off unless you do.
Right. And also like everyone that I know that's gone out has not gone to they have gone out amongst the Gentiles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
that whole part is never really paid attention to.
Everybody
thinks of it as like that was meant just for them, for these 12.
Instead, I'm going to go to like Central America and those islands and Africa and try to convert the savages.
Right.
And I say that in a very sarcastic way because it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But that is 100% what's happening.
Right.
I think missionary work is bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's one thing if you're going out there to like actually just build a school or something like that. But like it's another thing if you're literally squandering resources to try and convert people.
There's people like it's cool. They're going out and building schools and fucking houses and shit. There's people in their community who need that help.
Yeah.
Like, I think if Jesus were around, he would look at people and be like, you should fix your problems here.
Right.
Before going somewhere else and trying to fix their problems.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Missionary work gets me real heated.
Yeah. He says that you're going to get persecuted.
Yes. You know? Yep. Like I'm doing right now.
Right. Yeah.
Called it.
And then it says, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you, which I'm guessing is the Holy Spirit.
Oh, he's adopted them into the family, basically.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he gave them healing powers.
Yeah. This is interesting. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The only way I could read that was, well, that means like by the time they're done doing this, Jesus will come back.
Oh.
You know, the return of Jesus will happen. Right. Which,
and they're probably sitting there like, what? You're already here.
I know. Well, yeah.
I don't understand what you mean. Wait, are you going somewhere?
Right. The footnote on this says it could mean the end times, or it could be when God brought judgment on Israel and had the second temple destroyed, which...
Those are two very different explanations.
Yeah, it's very different. And also, like, there's nothing in the Bible that I am aware of that says that the second temple was destroyed because God brought judgment on Israel. There's the fact that, like that was 70 AD that happened, which is basically about 40 years after Jesus would have lived. So they would have had time to go around to all the towns in Israel.
Yeah.
And like by that point, according to these gospels, Jesus was already famous.
Right.
Everybody knew about Jesus.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
According to the gospels.
He keeps getting mobbed like the Biebs, right?
Like
he's like
Biebs.
An ancient Justin Bieber.
Right. So it's interesting when you read through this verse. I highly recommend, as always, I highly recommend everybody to read this because it starts off kind of like, okay, he's given some ground rules for how to go about doing this. And then he just starts going off the fucking rails.
Oh, Jesus.
So this one's interesting. This is 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows.
I've heard people say that before. You are worth more than
many
sparrows.
We literally just watched a movie the other day where they said that. And that
what movie was it?
That was the one with Alan Tudyk and Playing God.
Yeah.
Alan Tudyk and Michael McKean.
Oh, and he throws his hands up
sparrows,
and says, you
and
are
sparrows
worth more than many sparrows and the birds.
It's a very good movie, by the way, if anybody's interested. Playing God is the name of it. But
Yeah. It was good. So your hairs are... Oh, he does say in that too, I know how many hairs are on your head.
Yeah.
Okay.
You are worth more than many sparrows.
All right.
Yeah. And this is where that verse... What's funny is I was planning on doing this before we even watched this, and I was like... I was like, oh, I know that verse now. it's such a weird verse.
Yeah, like, I don't understand
you
the
are
correlation
worth more
between
than
the two.
Many sparrows.
Like two sparrows are worth a penny, but they won't fall to the ground outside your Father's house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Outside your Father's care.
Okay. Not sure what that means.
Yeah.
Also, like the hairs on your head are numbered.
Yeah.
Cool.
God knows exactly how many hairs you have in your
head. If you believe in the omnipotence of God.
Yeah.
Omniscient. Thank you. I would imagine that he does know that.
Right.
How are those two things connected?
Right.
So he knows the number of hairs on your head and also that two sparrows are worth a penny.
Right. But we're worth more than many sparrows.
Right.
I don't know how many, though.
Is it based on the number of hairs on our head? Your worth is... I feel bad for bald people then if that's how God is calculating your value.
That's why Jesus renamed
it's
Peter.
It's the Esau method.
Yeah. Yeah. So he goes on to really go off the rails, and I'm just going to read this stuff out. Because it really, like, I can't read this and not think he's getting angry.
Okay.
Whoever acknowledges me before others will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword.
Oh.
For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, because that's hard to do. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross, spoiler alert, and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. Anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Well, whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward.
Are these rewards listed somewhere? Or like, how do I know what I get?
Are they redeemable for cash prizes?
Right. Like, what's the difference between a righteous person's reward and a prophet's reward?
Yeah.
And a little person's reward. A little person.
That's what they never told us about the 12. Because they were the 12, dwarves from Sleeping Beauty.
I mean, that's seven dwarves.
But, oh, is that the seven dwarves? Oh. Well, they lost a few.
Wow. I mean, that is a real, I mean, I could, so to me, this seems like an important thing for him to be saying, right? Because he is basically like me first, then everybody else. Like,
yeah,
your mom, your dad, your children, like, great, love them, but love me first.
Right.
Because I am the most important, because loving me means you love God.
Yeah. Even though God knows, including Jesus, apparently, know that eventually the people who are all around him won't be around him, and all this stuff will be recorded in a book 2,000 years later, still being read, and you're going to have to be taking it on faith.
Right.
That any of this was true. And at this point, does it make sense to actually put something you are taking on faith, something by definition, meaning you do not know if it is true or not, is it better to be taking that stuff and putting it above the people you do know exist in your life, you know?
Well, it's 100% against our instincts as humans evolutionarily to put something above our family. Like, evolutionarily, the reason why you love your family, specifically the reason why parents love their children, is so that their children don't die.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole purpose. And then the reason why children love their parents is so when the parents can't take care of themselves anymore, the children will do it.
Right.
That's the whole purpose evolutionarily of these feelings that we consider to be love.
Right.
And a non-sexual love.
Yeah.
In most cases.
Except for a few places in the Bible.
Right. When you insert something above those, you're basically saying, like, I love you and will care for you, except when it's opposed to this belief. So, hypothetically, let's take the circumstance of you and your mom.
Okay.
Everyone knows your mom if they listen to this podcast. Jill, she was on one of our
12.5.
Yep. She is religious.
Yeah.
She believes in God. You don't. You're an atheist.
Yeah.
If she were following the instructions of the Bible, she would not have anything to do with you.
Well, it depends on how you interpret this.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
But
yeah, like, so that's, that is a good point, because he does say, like, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household.
Right.
But he says a man's enemies.
Oh. We're going to take it literally.
Like, let's really figure out a way around this if we want to.
Right.
You know?
I mean, if we think about this in terms of, like, having been a Jehovah's Witness, that is literally what they do.
Yep. Yep, they disfellowship you.
They won't talk to you anymore. If you don't believe what they believe, you're out.
Right.
Like, you're not part of the family, you're not part of the community, anything like that. And it causes a real problem with the way that humans are supposed to be raised and causes a lot of damage, mm-hmm. as you know.
Right.
Having experienced it yourself.
Yeah.
Really. So it's a
this is what has the potential to turn Christianity into what I would call a cult.
Yeah.
Where you are cutting off
right.
other people
yeah.
Because of it, because right. of your beliefs.
But in other parts of the Bible, I feel like Jesus is like, love everybody.
Right.
Whether they believe in me or not.
Yeah.
Like, your job is to love your fellow man.
Yeah.
But in this, he's
Well, remember, like, we talked about this when he was during the call of Levi. He has the dinner with right. the tax collectors and the right, sinners.
Because they need the help.
Yeah.
But here he's telling people to basically, like, make your family your enemy.
Yeah.
If I'm not first in their life.
Right. Yeah.
Real, like, how I other than, like, picking and choosing what to believe in the Bible, which is what I imagine happens most of the time, like, how do Christians level those two ideas out in their head to,
yeah.
like, love thy neighbor?
Yeah.
In the fucking Ten Commandments, right?
Right.
Honor thy neighbor, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And your mother and your father, it tells you
yeah.
to do that in the Ten Commandments.
What if they don't believe?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
That's why ultimately you are able to do whatever the fuck you want to do and justify it
right.
if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, because there's things that'll prop up your beliefs, right. whatever they are.
So in Jehovah's Witness beliefs,
yeah. yeah.
you them cutting people out of their lives because yeah. they don't believe in it is justified.
Because of this passage that's only in one of the Gospels.
Right. And yeah. and Christians who go out there and like go help people who may be atheists or like, right. I mean, there's a Christian organization in our city that helps people with home loans. And in most Christian organizations, you have to be Christian to receive services.
Yeah.
This one does not make that stipulation.
Right.
It's literally like, if you are under a certain dollar amount in your life, mm-hmm. we will help you with a down payment for your house.
Yeah.
So that would be like based on the teaching of Jesus, like help the less fortunate
right.
than you. Whether yeah. they believe the same thing as you or not does not matter.
Right.
Literally your job as Christians is to like raise all boats.
Yeah.
Those are two very different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's when I think about the dichotomy between just those two things, like I don't understand how anyone can justify anything. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I know. You just have to pick and choose what you
right.
like. Because most Christians I know don't follow this.
Right.
They don't cut people out of their lives just for not
yeah.
believing. Like the vast majority of Christians
don't.
Like, people might not get this from our podcast enough, but believe me when I say, we know most Christians are not shitty people.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
there are a lot out there who are. And they're causing troubles for everybody else.
We also are aware that there's a lot of non-Christians who are shitty. Like, there's just fucking shitty people
everywhere. And whether or not you're a Christian doesn't make you a better person. Just, you know, our big thing with this is don't use Christianity as an excuse to be a shitty person.
Right.
Really,
yeah.
is what it kind of comes down to.
Yep.
And I have no idea where I was going with that. I think you
wanted to make sure that our listeners understand that we're not, and we've stated this a couple times, but our dialogue back and forth sometimes, I think, comes off as opposite of what we're trying to say, much like the Bible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where we say, we don't hate Christians. We don't hate any people who are religious.
Right.
We hate shitty people.
Right. That's what
and
I was,
hate is even a word that I like.
It's
I don't
harsh.
Hate anybody.
But that's what I was trying to say is like most Christians don't follow this.
Right.
And you know, they've chosen that this is not actually representative of what they think God would be.
Sure.
Whether that was a conscious decision or not, because I really do think most Christians would say, well, I don't really understand what he's getting at, but I don't think that's what he was really trying to say.
Love.
You know, he's Jesus is about love and stuff.
Right.
And that's fine. That's how I was raised to believe Jesus was about love and not about kicking out family members because they have a different idea about what happens when we die.
Right.
You know, that's an insane way to live your life.
Or not even a different idea about what happens when you die. Literally, like, if Jesus isn't the most important person in their life.
Yeah.
Is basically what he's saying there.
Right. Yeah. Like, even if they still believe in Jesus, but they're going through a slump in their faith or something like that.
Or if they're like, I really fucking love my kids.
Yeah.
Like, I would do anything for my kids, up to and including murdering Jesus.
like really, it comes. It really weird.
But I mean, back in the day, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
I get what you're saying. At this point, and where we are in as a society, you have to take it on faith that Jesus ever existed in the first place.
Right.
You have to take it on faith that he was God.
Right.
You have to take it on faith that
he said
God,
this.
You have to take it on faith that God is a loving God and all that kind of stuff, that God exists in the first place. You know, there's all this stuff that you have to take on faith to get to that belief. You know that the people in your life actually do exist.
Right.
And you don't have to take them on faith to know that they exist. So you should have some priority. Like what you know exists should have some priority on the stuff that you think exists.
Right. 100%.
Yeah. So that's just how I've landed on this stuff. Anyway, all that's to say, we're moving on.
Well, no, I mean, that was good. I think because it does seem like, again, a very important piece of the Bible that people have used to do bad things.
Yeah. So our last story for today is Jesus healing the multitudes. This is Luke 6, 17 through 19, Mark 3, 7 through 12, Matthew 12, 15 through 21. Mark's version goes like this. Jesus goes to the lake, probably the Sea of Galilee, with the disciples. People from all around Israel are coming out to see him. Jesus had his disciples get a boat ready to keep people from crowding him because he's that popular.
Yep.
And then it says, for he had healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Again, he's telling demons not to tell anybody else that he's the Son of God.
But he kicked them out.
Yeah.
So is he telling the people that they were inside not to tell? But there's a ton of people there. You said it's the multitude.
I know. It doesn't
he had to go on a boat.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
There's so many people he had to go on a boat.
And also he keeps saying he's the Son of God and all this stuff and that, you know, like,
don't tell anyone I do this,
though. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
But I thought that was the whole point of him, like, assigning his henchmen was that they would be able to go do this shit and he wouldn't have to anymore.
Right. Yeah. Where are they out there? Right. Are they out? That's another thing. Really good point. Now that you bring it up, he sends out the 12. There's no indication that they actually went out.
You just said they were with him.
Yeah, I know. It's like, there's no indication that they actually went out. But yeah.
I mean, they're with him at the Last Supper.
Yeah. Yeah. No wonder, like, no wonder they weren't able to get through all of Israel before the Son of God comes back.
They're just, we'll do this later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's only going to live till 32. Right. So, I mean,
Luke's version, there's no lake or Sea of Galilee. He just stood on a level place. It's, I know, it's a level place. It says, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all.
Ooh.
Which sounds a lot like a mutant power to me.
It does.
Yeah. Jesus was the next man.
I mean, that aligns with the story of Apocalypse. It's about the same time frame there.
Oh, yeah?
He was one of the first mutants.
Ah, so Jesus was probably Apocalypse.
No, he was probably one of the other mutants. But
okay.
Apocalypse was... He didn't heal people.
No.
Apocalypse, no. No.
Anyway. This then goes directly into Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. Whereas Matthew's version...
Oh, this is the Sermon on the Mount?
No, this is what leads right into the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay.
Like, literally, that's the next thing that would come.
So he does the multitudes, and then after that is the Sermon on the Mount.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep.
And then, whereas with Matthew's version, we would have to go all the way back to chapter 5 to get to the Sermon on the Mount there. Because all of the stories that we've talked about in this episode and last episode all happen before the Sermon on the Mount in Luke... But they happen after the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew.
Gotcha. Okay.
Matthew's version, basically the same story. It's just Jesus getting cornered by people who need healing and him telling them not to tell anyone. I don't know if
All of you. So, I've healed all of you. The multitudes. I've healed the multitudes. You all shut the fuck up. Don't tell anyone. When you go home and they're like, why don't you have a withered hand anymore? Yeah. Just be like, I don't know. And then leave it at that.
Right. I said basically the same story. Actually, the note that I put here is barely the same story. So it's literally just him getting cornered by people who need healing and him telling them not to tell anybody. So not even really the same story. Then there's a verse from Isaiah that the writer Matthew says about Jesus. I don't know if I think I just failed to finish this slide. I think I failed to just finish this note. Come to think of it. Because, yeah, there's apparently also a verse from Isaiah that the writer Matthew says about Jesus. And nothing more about it.
You didn't put the
let's see
the verse.
Luckily, I have a link to the chapter here.
So is Isaiah, is that a book? Is there a book of Isaiah? Or is literally...
Yeah, there is a book in the Old Testament.
And Matthew's pulling from the book of Isaiah.
Yeah. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Okay, this is what I was getting at. And there's no real reason I just totally forgot about this. There's no real reason to like recite this verse. It just, this is literally the entire story is a large crowd followed him. He healed those who were ill, told them not to tell anybody else about it. And then it's all to fulfill this prophecy from Isaiah. And then here's this prophecy.
Okay. And is it just like this, the Messiah is going to heal multitudes or
yeah, so it says, here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out, which say that to the money changers at the temple.
Yeah. And the fig tree.
No one will hear his voice in the streets.
Oh, it's not true.
I know. A bruised reed he will not break. Smoldering wick, he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope.
It says nothing about healing in there.
It doesn't, no. Yeah, I don't.
I really just wish Jesus would stop telling people to not tell people.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that he would just stop doing that.
I feel like that had a negative impact on the Catholic Church. Don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Dark.
Yeah. But, I know, but fair, I think.
But it's like somebody going on like Instagram these days and being like, guys, I did this thing, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah. Well, why did you post it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't want people to know, like, maybe not do it in groups.
Yeah.
And also, like, threaten their lives a little bit. Clearly.
Don't tell anybody, I'll fucking kill you.
Like, has he not learned?
Yeah.
Like, I would hope that Jesus, of all people, could see what's fucking going on around him and be like, oh, I tell these people not to tell anybody, and they still do.
Right.
Why do I continue to say this?
Yeah.
Never in church mass was it like, we've healed our sick and our dying, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
This is my body, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
This is my blood. Don't tell anybody.
Like, also think about the fact that too, when it comes to any time you ever hear of any fucking faith healing or anything like that,
tell everybody.
They fucking try and get it out there. Like,
fuck yeah.
They don't care if it's real or not. You know, they try and get it out everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, but.
But also, but it just literally the story starts with him having to go on a fucking boat.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people.
Right.
That he needs to put himself in the water and allow a limited amount of people to access him at a time.
Yeah.
Basically is what that scene. He's doing like a meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
And yet only allow certain people in at a time. Right. So as to not get overwhelmed. We've been to meet and greets. We know how it works. Not for us. For other people.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody wants to meet us.
I'm sure there are some people
maybe
who want to meet us.
Maybe.
Yeah. Hello, all those people.
Hello.
Hello. We want to meet you too.
Yeah. Not at our house.
Not at our house. No.
But like literally, at what point does he see the masses to the point where it's literally like the story is called He Heals the Multitudes.
Yeah.
Which makes me think of a big number.
Right.
And does he realize that like everybody knows?
Yeah.
Who is he keeping the fucking secret from?
I know.
It just makes him seem real stupid. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit. Like, there's 1,000 people waiting to be healed, and he's like, don't tell anyone.
First rule of being a Jesus disciple is don't talk about being a Jesus disciple.
Second rule of being a Jesus disciple is don't fucking talk about being a Jesus disciple.
Yeah. A lot of you are breaking the first and second rule of being a Jesus disciple. Oh. Anyway.
Third rule is on the first day, if it's your first day, you have to fight.
Oh, God. I really want to read this version of the gospel. We had, what Crumb do Genesis?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think we need to have Palahniuk do the Gospels.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, if you read the sequels to Fight Club that are in comic book form, he gets pretty close to running a cult.
Oh yeah, so, totally. Yeah.
It's not even pretty close.
He's totally running a cult. Yeah.
Yeah, and it gets real magic-y.
Yeah.
So, you know. Maybe he's already done that.
Right. They all lived miserably ever after. Thank you so much for checking out our podcast. Help us spread the good news and keep this going by sharing the show with a friend or leaving a review to help others find us. And we'll talk to you next time. I got you.
Rich, I'm sorry. The dick time.
The dick time. King Dick.
King Dick.
Good old King Dick.
Anywho, okay. So Withered Hand.
Insert Liam Neeson reference.
King Dick. Yeah.